Hey, this is Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching. All hearts and minds are clear. Let's get ready to get in the Word of God. I want you to go with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, and we're going to be in part 2 of the series entitled Unlocking My Faith. If you haven't been with us, we're in a season of just teachings on faith. So we did a series about 5 weeks ago entitled Understanding Faith. You just really have to go back. You can watch it online. That's a good reason for you to go and watch the messages and the broadcast on demand. You can go on our YouTube page. You can go on Facebook Live videos and find it there. You can go to the DLC podcast, and you can be caught up to speed and watch them messages and series at your leisure. Now we're in another series entitled Unlocking My Faith, and this is part 2. And I want you to go to Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. And then we're going to go to chapter number 5. But I really just want one verse out of chapter 2. And then we'll go to chapter 5. And I want one verse out of chapter number 5. So Galatians 2, verse 20. NIV versions. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now go to chapter number 5. Go to chapter number 5. And I want you to look at verse number 6. Verse 6. I really just need the B clause, the last statement. But we're going to read the entire verse. It says this, chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. Father, thank you so much for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Leaning not to our own understanding, we acknowledge you as being Lord of our lives. And we thank you right now for causing us to abound in the grace that you've given us on today. Spirit of the living God, we really entrust ourselves to your care, that we don't miss one thing that you will speak and utter on today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about unlocking our faith. Unlocking our faith. I'm just going to grab my little notepad here for a second. I want to give you a theme as I've been doing these last couple of years, so that no one is lost as it relates to where we're going. Not trying to be a surprise. I want you to be able to track along with our message for today. Here's the theme. Our natural default as human beings, because of Adam's transgression, our natural default in response to our natural default as a result or consequence because of Adam's transgression is to think that we must be the originator or the initiator of our own success and happiness. Now, this is very important. Our natural default tendency, inclination, because of Adam's sin in the garden, Genesis chapter number 3, is for you and I to think that we must be the originator or the initiator of our own happiness and success. Now, on the surface, that doesn't seem bad because we live in a works-driven world. And I understand that, but listen to me. On the surface, that seems good, but it is really a subtle and unhealthy belief that our best life starts with our performance. It's a very deceptive tactic, and it's a very delusional tactic from the enemy because he tries to convince us that our best life starts with our performance. And when we buy into that, we lock our faith because life is beyond our control and our comprehension. Therefore, the truth is God has called us to recognize and designed us where our best life doesn't start with our performance, but it starts with our acceptance. Our faith response to his presence and to his promises. So here you go. Just want to make sure everybody's following along. I'm going to try to take my time because I really believe there's an impartation for our faith to be unlocked that God wants to release today. Here's the theme so you can know. Our natural default, because we live in a sinful world and we were born sinful by nature, is to think that we ourselves must be the originator or the instigator, the initiator of our own success and our own happiness. It's a subtle but yet very deceptive and delusional tactic from the enemy, where we think our best life is going to be the result of our performance. And it locks our faith because life isn't lived by our control or comprehension. So the truth is, God has created us and designed us to live our lives by acceptance, which is our faith response to his promise and to his presence. So when Paul writes to the church at Galatia, the book of Galatians, he draws our attention to the theme of liberation, to the theme of liberation. If you want to know the overarching theme for the book of Galatians, you can just write in somewhere in your, well, I don't know if people got printed Bibles anymore, everything is electronic, but the theme for the book of Galatians can really be summed with one word, liberty or liberation. So when Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he draws our attention to the idea and to the recognition that we must be free from harmful perspectives and practices that weaken our faith, that restrict our faith, that hinders our faith, that dilutes our ability to walk in full confidence to God and full obedience in God. Now, Paul really gives us from a platform of great revelation and insight that unless we make some pivotal replacements on how we walk with God and relate to God, we're going to be restricted and limited. We're going to be restricted, limited, and unfulfilled in the measure of manifested measures of God's promises and our prayers. Now, I'll make sure I'm clear. He says, unless you and I make some pivotal replacements in how we walk with God and relate to God, we're going to be restricted and unfulfilled in the measure of manifested promises and prayers in our lives. Now, this is what I want you to get. Not because God is limited, but a locked faith and stuck faith limits an unlimited God. Okay. Y'all know, like Chanel said, interaction. So I want your comments and feedback. Come and let me know if this is making sense, if this is bringing some great clarity, confirmation, or even conviction and correction. So if I don't make some of these replacements in attitude and actions about how I relate to God, then it's going to negatively impact my faith. It's going to be harmful. It's going to be detrimental to me being able to use my faith to maximize God's best for me. If I don't make these replacements, it's going to be harmful to my faith, and it is going to place a strain on the measure of manifested promises and blessings and breakthroughs that can come in my life. Not because God is limited, but it is the fact that a locked faith or a stuck faith hinders and limits an unlimited God. It hinders our faith in maximizing God's blessings and breakthroughs for our lives. Now, let's begin to unpack this some more. It is very key and very important. I didn't even give you my subtopic. We're talking about unlocking my faith, but for part two for this week, the focus is the replacement. The replacements. The replacement. And the reason I want to emphasize the replacements is because of this. Many people think, when you become a believer, it is simply a reworking, it is a revising of our lifestyle. But that's not being a believer. Being a believer, being a Christian, is not behavior modification. It is not just simply changing a few things in my life. It is not just accessorizing my life with Christian cliches, slogans, or paraphernalia. It is not about just all of a sudden now I'm just going to, you know, put up some nice Christian motivational scriptures or something to inspire me or help me to feel good. No, 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 no. Being a believer is a replacement issue. It is the total replacing of the life I used to live prior to me making Jesus Lord over my life. And now that life now replaces the life I used to have. So we're not talking about just simply saying, okay, I just need to make some tweaks. I'm talking about if you're going to unlock your faith, Paul tells us that you and I got to be about replacing. The Christian life is about a complete replacing of our lifestyle. It is the complete replacing of how you and I perceive and practice in this life and in relation to God. I said something like this in my notes. It is the replacing of my lifestyle, where my inner world influences towards me towards the best outlook and outcome. But it starts with me unlocking my faith. It starts with me unlocking my faith, doing whatever is necessary to replace the life I had before Jesus and replace that life with the life I now have in Jesus. It's going to change me from the inside out. This is why for our vision at Discover Life Church, it is helping you discover life in Christ. Helping you discover life in Christ. Because many people, I want to discover the life I was meant to live. That is the life in Christ. Man, I want to live the life God created me. That's the life in Christ. Man, I know God created me for an abundant life, victorious life, blessed life, healed life, overcoming life, triumphant life, fruitful life, faithful life, joyful life, peaceful life, whatever you want to call it, is helping you discover life in Christ. And that is a life, watch this, that can only be unlocked by faith, and it has to be tapped into by faith. Am I making sense to you guys? Are y'all getting this? And so once I start walking with God, I have unlocked my faith, because now I'm not saved by grace. I'm saved by faith. So now my faith is unlocked. But watch this. As I continue to walk with him on this journey, there are pivotal seasons and stages where God says, now I need you to unlock faith for the next level. I need you to unlock faith for the next dimension. I need you to unlock faith for the next platform. Because watch this. When I got married to PK, y'all know she was sweating me, right? So when I was single as a man, loving God, passionately pursuing God, I had to unlock faith to be a husband. I had to unlock faith, because the faith to being a husband didn't automatically just spring. It had to be unlocked. Once we had kids, I had to unlock faith to be a parent, to be a dad. Now, if you got more than one, you got to unlock faith to be a parent for more than one. You got to unlock to be a parent for two. Then we had to unlock to be a parent for three. We had Reagan. And then some people don't even know. A few of you guys may know our journey. The first time we, when PK was pregnant, you know, we had a miscarriage. So we had to unlock faith to believe God that we're going to have kids. And I'm praying even now, if you have any report from the doctor that says you would not have kids, I am speaking fruitfulness over your union of marriage right now. However God needs to bring about that fruitfulness in your life, I'm in agreement. Barrenness is not your inheritance. I decree it and declare it, that you will be fruitful, your seed will come forth in the name of Jesus. Your womb is fruitful. Everything about the reproductive organs work, male and female, according to God's design. You are redeemed from every curse. The blood of Jesus sanctifies and sanitizes your female organs, your male reproductive organs, and we speak life. We speak a house full of kids. We speak the little pitter-pattering of feet running around, the crib, everything, the throw blankets, we speak it all, the teddy bears, whatever it is, the diaper changing table, the rocking chair, baby monitors, we decree it and declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I am believing God. Now, I am going to say this, and this is not a sign of not having faith, but I believe God answers sometimes our prayers through means that we don't consider. For some of you, I believe God wants you to really take some time, you and your husband, you and your future spouse. I believe for some of you in DLC, God has called you to adopt. God has called you to adopt. And that does not make you less of a mom or dad because you adopt. Remember, Joseph basically adopts Jesus. Joseph adopts Jesus. So if it was good enough for Joseph, who was the earthly dad to God in the flesh, I don't think it is beneath us to go that same route. And matter of fact, God even says the spirit of adoption is how we became his sons and daughters. So I know I digress, but I believe that prayer is for somebody. Okay, so now here we go. I want to make sure you're clear. We're not talking about revising. We're not talking about reworking. We're talking about replacing. And so today I'm only going to give you three. I got three areas where we need to replace if we're going to unlock our faith. Just three areas that I believe you and I need to replace if we're going to unlock our faith. And then I'm going to let you go so you can enjoy your holiday weekend. And I don't know how some of you are going to enjoy it because I didn't get invited to the barbecue and the baked beans and all that other stuff. I'm talking about the chefs, Marcus and LaWanda Kirkland. So I don't know how they're going to have a great holiday weekend without doing that. But you can, don't worry, you can mail it to me. All right, let's go. Three areas. Number one, I must replace the focus of my life. I must replace the focus of my life. Because I want you to go to Galatians 2, and if there's a way for you to have that passage open, 2:20, I'm just going to kind of break this verse down systemically and methodically. So I must replace the focus of my life. Look at what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. You can underline, highlight the words crucified and I no longer live. We're very familiar with pictures where you see Jesus on the cross. We're very familiar with pictures where we see Jesus on the cross, the images of Jesus on the cross. But I think sometimes we forget that we're called to not just see Jesus on the cross, but to see ourselves on the cross. So he says, I am crucified with Christ. With Christ, which means there is something about Jesus on the cross that I am not only called to identify with, but I am called to imitate, because the cross signifies death to the self life. Everything about the cross represents death to a self-driven, self-focused, self-led, self-centered, and self-ruled life. So Jesus on the cross, it is, yes, I mean, I see Jesus on the cross dying for me. But what is really the backdrop of him on the cross? It's him saying, life isn't about me. My focus isn't on me. Because a righteous man dies for unrighteous people. A godly man died for ungodly people. And Paul says, that is not what you find in this world. Someone who hasn't done anything dying for those people who have done everything wrong. And so when we see the cross, Jesus is saying, don't just see me dying. I want you to see you dying like I did to the self life, where life is all about and life is just focused on self. Because if we're going to unlock our faith, then we must replace the focus of our lives. Now, let me give you this. Our faith always flows and goes based upon what we focus on the most. Our faith always flows and goes on what we focus on the most. That means a life focused on self would never be a life filled with faith in God. Why? Because we become like whatever we focus on the most. We become like whatever we focus the most. And I've said it before, faith will follow your focus. Faith will follow whatever you focus on the most. So if I am focusing on God the most, if I am focusing on, and if my life is focused on honoring God, pleasing God, trusting God, then I become like what I am focused on the most. So now I become in heart, in disposition, in attitude, in expectation, like God. And God, who is faith, God who embodies faith, never sees a problem as something that's going to stop his plans or his promises. So if I focus on God, then I start having faith like God, where I see opportunities and possibilities no matter what I am encountering. Am I making sense? Are y'all getting this? So whatever I focus on the most is really going to impact my faith. So if I am living a life that just focused on self, then I become like self. And how is self? Inconsistent, unreliable, fickle, non-dependable, temporary, double-minded. But if I focus on God, then my faith becomes like what I'm focusing on. How is God? Consistent, dominant, victorious, overcoming. My faith will always flow and go based upon what I am focusing on the most. And the more my life is focusing on pleasing God, honoring God, obeying God, trusting God, then I start seeing my problems as possibilities. I start seeing obstacles as opportunities. Because why? I'm not looking at it through the lens of who I am, what I don't have. I am now seeing them through the eyes of faith, because it is now what I have been focusing on, God looking through me and saying, see it my way. See it my way, see it my way. And God never sees defeat. God always sees victory. God never sees defeat. God always sees victory. So no matter what I encounter, if my focus is on God, then now I know through the eyes of faith, it's going to work out for His glory and for my good. Am I making sense to you guys? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? So the first thing I have to replace, if I am going to unlock my faith, I have to replace the focus of my life. I cannot be selfish and expect to be faith-filled. I cannot be self-led and expect to be faith-filled. I got to be God-centered. I got to be God-driven. I got to be God-focused. Now, and let me just add this before I get to point two. When you and I are God-centered, God-driven, God-focused, that in essence means you're going to be other-centered and other-focused, mean it will not be all about us. The more my focus is on God, man, the more potent, the more powerful, more dynamic my faith would be. Let me give you number two. Number two, watch this. I must replace the freedom of my life. The freedom of my life. Look at Galatians 2:20. Look at watch this. But Christ lives in me. See, he says, now that I've been crucified with Christ, I don't even live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith. The life I now live, I live by faith. See, a key word in this passage is the word now, because it deals with a logical result based upon what precedes. A logical result based upon what's preceded, what has preceded. So it's kind of like our statement or slang when we says in light of, meaning I have gathered information. Something has come to my attention that has caused me to now come to this conclusion. In light of the information, in light of this event, in light of this circumstance, something preceding is now causing how I'm going to now proceed. Now, hear me with this right here. Since we're no longer focused on self, but on God, we now replace how freedom looks and works in our lives. Because that's point number two. Point number one, I had to replace the focus on my life. And since I'm no longer focused on self, I now have to replace the freedom of my life. Because now I don't live the life I now live. I live by faith. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this free of no charge. Our faith doesn't really get stuck because of our conditions, but because of our conclusions. Teach, Pastor Roy, I'm doing the best I can. Our faith doesn't really get stuck because of our conditions, but because of our conclusions. Meaning, prior to us crucifying our flesh, crucifying the self-driven, self-led life, we attach freedom to being when I get more money, when I get more stuff, when I get a bigger house, when I get this, when I get that, when I have this person in my life, to bigger, to better, to more, and all. So we attach freedom to that. But now that I have crucified my self-driven, self-centered life, freedom isn't the conclusions I've come to, watch this, out of my fears, failures, or frustrations. My conclusions are now rooted in my faith in God, where I recognize now I am free to serve God at a level where I know as I seek Him first, other things will be added. Because why? I'm not defined by other things. I'm not defined by who's in my life and who's not in my life. I'm not defined by what I have and what I don't have. I am free. The freedom allows me to live an authentic life of joy and peace in the absence of stuff. So this is why Paul says, I'm content in whatever state I'm in. Because why? I'm not free if I have money. And I'm not free if I don't, and I'm not bound if I don't have money. He said, my freedom is in Christ. So I am liberated based upon my faith in Him to know that as I seek Him first, all other things will be provided. And so my life isn't jacked up because I haven't got the house yet, the car yet. No, my freedom now is found in faith in God, knowing that as He is my priority, I am always free. Man, wow. I hope I'm making sense to you guys. So now watch this. Because prior to me crucifying my flesh, my freedom was going to be the fruit of my trying. But now that I have put my flesh on the cross, my self-driven, self-led life is on the cross, and the life I live by faith in Him. Watch this. Now that it is Christ living in me, my freedom doesn't come from trying. My freedom is in my trusting. My freedom that tries to come through self is by stressing, striving, and straining. And how many know if that it is what is motivating you, you're never free. Because someone always get a better house, and now you feel like you got to get a better house. There's somebody. There's always something more, and you're never satiated, never satisfied. But when I have killed my self-driven life and I've replaced my focus with God, God says, now I am going to give you authentic rest, authentic peace, authentic joy, where now all these other things would be added. Because hear me, if you can't have peace in a studio apartment, you won't have peace once you move into that house in the subdivision that you're believing God for. Now, I'm all for that house. I'm all for it. But if you don't have peace in that studio apartment, you're not going to have peace when you get in the suburbs. If you don't have inner, authentic rest as a single, you're not going to have it once you get a mate. Because a mate can't replace what you haven't dealt with by changing your focus. Ooh, I am teaching better than the way y'all comedy. Because you're going to look at your mate with unrealistic expectations, asking him or her to fulfill something that can only be found in you and I being free in God, which comes by unlocking our faith. You're going to ask them to scratch an itch. This is why if you don't put your lust on the cross, getting married is not going to replace dealing with lust. It won't. It has to be dealt with one-on-one in the privacy of your heart, nailing it to the cross of Christ. Because now getting married, you're going to ask that mate to be and to do outside of their capability. And I am telling you guys, we got to replace the freedom. You're not free when you make more money. You're free when the money you have is entrusted to God, into God's practices and perspectives, tithing, offering, saving, sowing. You and I are free when you and I recognize I live by faith. I don't live by my stressing, and striving. Woohoo! Replace the freedom in my life. All right, last one and I'll be done. Told y'all, I only got three this morning. Normally I know I give you four, I got three. So I must replace the focus of my life. I must replace the freedom of my life. And watch this, I must replace the foundation of my life. The foundation of my life. Because he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Galatians 5:6 in the King James Version says, faith worketh by love. When I've seen this passage I don't know how many times. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself as a ransom for me. Short version from the King James. Chapter 5, verse 6. Faith worketh by love. In all my life, when I looked at this passage, especially faith worketh by love, I used to just look at it and go like, okay, that makes sense. Faith works by love. Because on the surface, you would think, man, my love for God is the foundation for my faith. The more I love God, the easier it is to have faith. The more I love God, the easier it is to have faith. The more I love God, the more I grow in faith. The more I deepen my love for God, the more I deepen my faith. The more I mature in my love in God, the more I mature in my faith. I used to think that for the longest time. And then a light bulb went off some years ago. Man, that's not what God is saying. Hear me. Our faith isn't founded on our love for God, but God's love for us. I'm going to say it again. Our faith isn't founded on our love for God, but God's love for us. See, our response to his love, how much and how deep he loves us, is what fills our heart with faith. You want me to tell you why? Because we're now not living from the place of pressure or performance, but his acceptance of us makes it easy to trust him. So religion is saying that God loves me based upon what I do. But a relationship with God is God loves me just because he loves me. See, many people are frustrated and struggling in their faith, and their faith is locked because the foundation of their faith is their performance. How much I love God, what I did for God, what I do for God. When God says, you're not the starting point, that's religion, that's self-righteousness, that's works. The starting point is your response to the fact that I love you before you can even do anything. I don't change in how I see you. So even on your bad day, it does not change the fact that I still love you. I'm going to give you this. Our faith working by his unfailing, unchanging, and unending love for us no matter what. See, in my relationship with PK, it's the fact what makes it so easy to trust her is the fact that she loves me beyond my performance. So then when I consider the times that I don't live up to her standards and expectations, and it does not cause her to walk away from me or to give up on me, then it causes me to want to trust her even more because she has seen the good, bad, and the ugly. But if I just start with my performance, then when I mess up, here's what happens. Then I retreat from her. And many of you right now, you're regressing in your walk with God because your walk with him is founded on your doing as opposed to the fact that he's already accepted you. Am I? Are y'all getting this? See, many of you right now, let me see, many of you are regressing and you're not as passionate for God in this season of our corporate ministry with God. Now, here's pastor love for us. Many of you have you have kind of diminished. I didn't say you don't love God. I didn't say you're no longer saved. I'm not saying that, so make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying you've went from 100 to 99. You've went from 100 to 97. You went from 100, some of y'all, to 90. In this season of us not being able to corporate gather, watch this, you've diminished in your enthusiasm and excitement for God because you feel like, man, we haven't had corporate worship. We ain't come into a building. Because the faith that you have for God is founded on your doing, going to church on Sunday, as opposed to just relating to God. That there is no diminishing expectation for God to move by waking up and me looking at it on an iPad or looking at it on a computer or looking at it on the phone. Because it's not founded, my walk is not founded on my love for him. Is founded on his love for me, how deep he loves me, how much he loves me. And when I understand that, now it becomes easier to trust him, because who can't trust a God who knows our junk and has never altered the blessings and breakthroughs he has for our lives? All right, you got me? Okay, So here we go. When my faith is founded on how much God loves me and not how much I love God, then my faith isn't bothered by the attacks of this world, or it's not belittled by the problems of my life, because it's on a firm foundation. Because the first thing happened, God, you do you see, do you care? Now my faith is fluctuating because I'm thinking, God, look at what I've been doing. No, my faith is on a firm foundation, which is His love for me. And then that causes me, influences me, inspires me, motivates me to do better. Here's the big so what. Whatever fuels me will either lock my faith or liberate my faith. See, whatever fuels me will either lock my faith or liberate my faith. And what's the fuel? It's either going to be my love for God or God loves for me. And I guarantee you, if I am primarily fueled by my love for God, I'm going to be frustrated. Because why? Sometimes my love gets thin, gets tiresome. It feels burdensome because I feel like God hadn't moved, God hadn't answered. But if I'm fueled by God's love for me, then it helps me to override feelings that are always subject to change. Take home challenge. This week I want you to read Galatians chapter number 3. I want you to read it 2 times. Memorize Galatians 2:20. Memorize that. Then of course pray these points twice over your life and for your life. And then I want you to share this message at the end. Share this message at the end. We're going to prepare to take communion, but I'm going to do that after we do something very significant and the most important part of the service, which is this right here. If you're listening and you've never given your life to Christ, unlock your faith and recognize that God loves you so much He sent His Son Jesus to die for you, whereby He is born of a virgin woman, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, physically raised from the grave, sits right now at the right hand of the Father, praying for you that you would make Jesus Lord over your life, and that you would know how special, how significant, how wanted, how valuable you are, and desiring to see you be everything God has called you to be, and then spend eternity with Him. But that's by faith. It's not a salvation that comes by work, by stressing and striving. It's a salvation that comes by recognizing the only way I can please God is by making Jesus Lord over my life by faith, and then living every day of my life walking by trusting in Him, what He has said in His word, His promises. So if you're here and you've never made Jesus Lord, just say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I believe the only way to have eternal life is through your Son Jesus. I make Him Lord over my life. I replace myself as being in control of my life and the center of my life with the Lordship of Jesus. Come into my heart, rule, reign, and lead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may live my life according to your power. Save me on this day. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church, I love you to life. Have a great and awesome holiday weekend. Be safe. Make sure you eat the kind of ribs that leave stains on your shirts. And just have an awesome, awesome day. Father, be with every person. We speak your blessings over their lives, over their ministry, over their families, over the works of their hands, the desires of their heart. And I thank you that in this season of our lives, our faith is being unlocked. Every spirit and every perspective that hinders, restricts, obscures our faith, it is utterly broken by your word and your anointing. And we are free to serve you according to the revelation we know, which is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added. So I thank you for the season of adding, the season of addition, because you're first. You're our focus. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Have a great, great day. Bible study Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Going back through the Gospel according to John. Have a great one. Be blessed. Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.